there's an alcoholic denial of your own behaviour, isn't there, and yeah. what goes on. And it's hard to explain to people about the inner narrative,
yeah,
which becomes so loud that you have no choice, that you have to quieten it.
Yeah.
Which is really the disease of alcoholism, isn't it?
Yeah. I can have that with a bar of chocolate. Like my missus bought me a bar of chocolate for Valentine's about 4 years ago, and I put it in the fridge. And I was watching telly, and it was like I was just being drawn to the fridge. And I went and got it out, and ate the whole lot. As soon as I ate the whole lot, it all just stopped, and I could watch the film again in quiet. Yeah. Got that inner voice going, can I have that chocolate? Or it'll be like, go to the gym on a Saturday morning. I think, because I make the plan on a Friday, I'm going to go to the gym first thing Saturday morning. And I wake up and think, have a day off. You deserve a day off. Like, it'll be going on in there. I think, no, you go gym. You've got the whole day. You always want to go gym on Saturday. And I'll sit there arguing with myself for 2-3 hours and then yet scrolling, anything, trying to get rid of that. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And if I don't go, like, what a waster you are. You fat, so you like CUNT. Do you know what I mean? And or if I do go, it just, again, it quiets it. It's gone.
Mm.
But you try and explain that to a normal person, like, you're mental. But you hear people share all that sort of stuff all the time, and I think,
yeah.
I get it. I totally yeah. get it.
Welcome back to This Is Powerful with me, Paul Scholfer. We are now into season 6, focusing on mental fitness in Britain's construction industry, because historically, these working environments are not conducive to men being able to speak openly about mental health or well-being. And the stats currently stand that construction workers are nearly 4 times more likely to die from suicide than the national average. Today we've got Gary the pipe fitter with us, 45 years old and now 9 years sober. Gary was born and raised outside London in a place called Harold Hill. For Gary, he always believed that he was that person that would never try drugs. But once he had a drink, he would, in his own words, try anything. In this conversation, we talk about quietening, then changing the inner narrative, becoming a person who now embraces waking up in the morning and the realization that, contrary to what Gary had been believing all his life, his problems were actually 99% all down to him. Gary, welcome to This Is Powerful.
Nice to see you, Paul.
Really appreciate you coming on. Mate, where did you get the Sergio Tashini top from?
Vinted.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
It's original.
Bargain, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice indeed. Mate, this is our mental well-being and series around construction workers, tradesmen. What is it that you do?
Pipe fitter. Pipe fitter, stroke plumber, more pipe fitting though.
What's the difference between a pipe fitter and a plumber?
Plumber's a bit more small fiddly bits, and the pipe fitting's more like the bigger stuff, more like offices, that sort of thing.
So possibly commercial properties?
Yeah.
So you're not going around doing people's boilers at home?
No, definitely not, no. No, I've tried it, didn't like it.
Yeah. What could the people are?
Yeah, I can't stand being watched when I'm working.
You know, oh, really?
You know, when like, people are over your shoulder sort of thing. Oh, what are you doing here? Like, yeah, I can't stand it. And with plumbing, it's a lot of tight little spaces, getting under sinks, in cupboards, all that sort of stuff.
That could be awkward if someone's backed up behind you while you're
welding. Especially my size is a bit too big for that sort of stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you did get through the door quite tightly, actually, the big doors. Can you tell us where you're from, Gary? How was your upbringing?
I'm from Harold Hill, which, for those who don't know, is not far from Romford, just a little bit outside London.
Yeah.
I had a great upbringing. Really happy childhood. No dramas or anything. Like, it's quite. I live with my nan, who's from Cork, my mum and my dad, and everything was it was a nice childhood, you know what I mean? My dad was like into his martial arts and that sort of stuff, so I sort of used to go with him doing that.
Oh, was
that.
He? What did he do?
Aikido, judo for many years. Kendo, so I got into a little bit of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But then as we got to sort of like 8, 9, 10, that's when my dad was an alcoholic and his drinking sort of took off, and that's when life started to change a little bit for me anyway.
Yeah. Did you notice anything before?
No, like I say, my nan loved a drink. We had a social family because my nan was from Ireland. Yeah. Like, got a lot of Irish family, so when the Irish lot come over, we'd have, like, if it was anyone's birthdays and all that sort of stuff, we'd have a big get-togethers. And my dad had lots of friends, obviously, from judo and all that sort of stuff. So we'd go out, like, on bingo days, down Margate and all that sort of stuff. It was good times, do you know what I mean? But it was only sort of later, sort of like probably 1989, 1990, that sort of time, I think my dad's business started struggling, and then started realising that he liked to drink a bit too much. You know what I mean? There was troubles with him and my mum.
It's unusual, isn't it, when you're when you're younger? Because my dad was he, funny enough, did wrestling, which was kind of unusual in the '60s. Not that I was born in the '60s.
Yeah,
and then did bodybuilding.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. And he was really into his fitness. Like, I'd come home.
Yeah,
and he'd be doing like. You know, like 500 sit-ups underneath the banisters, and then he'd be doing push-ups. He had a punch bag, he had a gym in the house.
Yeah.
And it was unusual when I saw him go on drinking bouts.
Yeah.
Two really, my mum was not well for a long time, and I understand now that that was his way of coping.
Yeah.
With that, you know.
Yeah.
But I found it really weird. My dad smoked as well for like about a year, randomly. And I'd come home, and I'd see him, and he'd see me, and I knew what he was doing, and he'd throw the fag away and come in and wash his hands and stuff. And I felt really, like, how deceitful to your son.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it at the time. Now we're completely clear and we understand it. But I found it really disturbing at the time.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
Well, it's drinking.
Yeah.
I didn't really know. I mean, we did go to, like, it was more social at the start. I don't remember my dad drinking at home when he lived with us. And he'd built up his own business. He was doing really well. And like 1999, it was like the sort of recession time, wasn't it? And I remember he lost his business. It was around that sort of time. The business started struggling and all that. And then when mum and dad started rowing a bit more, so you overheard that sort of stuff. And the next thing, I mean, it obviously didn't happen as quick as this, but he was having an affair. And then I met this new lady. And then my mum's questioning me about that when we come home.
That's not easy,
and,
is it?
No, it's just weird. And I we'd be at the top of the stairs or whatever, hearing them sort of rowing down the bottom of the stairs and all that sort of stuff. And unbeknown to me, I sort of took that on. I started worrying because I could hear them saying, we're going to end up losing the house and all this sort of stuff. How are we going to pay the bills? And then my dad would just disappear for little periods. And then we was then going and staying in different houses of the weekend with him. Sometimes he wouldn't turn up. Which I understand now because he was an alcoholic, do you know what I mean? He sort of buried his head in sand.
How old were you there, Gary?
That sort of period was like between 8 and 11 because I was just coming out of senior school, leaving junior school. And for the first time I had a bit of like, started worrying about things, do you know what I mean? I became a worrier. I don't know if that's an age thing as well, going up to senior school as well, big school, out of the area, because I left the school that I was at where I had all my friends, and then my mum sent me up to school at Brentwood, where a lot of my friends went to school around Romford, Harold Wood, them sort of areas. So it's like a new place, getting a bus for the first time.
That's a big move for a young man, especially if you've got instability.
I was young for my year as well. My birthday's on the 30th of August, so I'm right at the end. So I felt like a tiny kid going to a big school, do you know what I mean?
Not anymore, though.
No, not anymore. No, I sort of made up for it a little bit now. I'm still a kid, but just a bigger one. But and so that was a bit of a tough period. And then for the next few years, like, my dad was, like, his drinking really took off then, do you know what I mean? He'd become full-blown. And it was when I left school, I went to work with him for about a year. Because my dad said that it was a bit different, and you could sort of just go on to building sites and all that sort of thing. Now you need to get cards and all this. But he said, if you don't know what you're going to do yet, you can come and work with me for a while till you sort of sort out what you're going to do.
What did he do?
He was a gas engineer.
Okay.
But he'd come up, like, West London a lot. He had all sort of like commercial contracts and kitchens and that sort of stuff. So I'd go work with him. But by this point, I'd say his drinking was full blown then. So sometimes we'd only get as far as like barking roundabout, and he'd do a U-turn, and we'd end up back in Dagenham, and he'd be in like a working man's club drinking, and I'd just be sitting there with him all day, do you know what I mean?
Wow.
It completely changed from the dad I knew like 6 years previous, who was out working all the time. He'd now just completely changed the way he was, do you know what I mean?
It's really hard for people to understand that, isn't it? Because it's such a tough illness.
Yeah.
It just completely takes you over like a virus, doesn't it?
Yeah. And he used to pay me, like, he'd pay me his wages, my wages, sorry, and then he'd just take them back sort of like a few hours later or the next day, do you know what I mean? Because obviously he'd do all his money on the fruit machines and all that sort of stuff. And I remember when I started talking to a mate at school, and I said at college, sorry, and he said, why don't you come work for my firm? And I remember leaving my dad. I felt gutted at the time because, like, it was my dad, do you know what I mean? But the best thing I could have done then was get away from him to go and, like, find my own path. And then not long after, probably a year after that, he come into the rooms. And then he started his journey into recovery. He didn't get it straight away like me.
Yeah.
But then I picked up a drink because I've now left school and I'm now start going out partying. Yeah. So it's like his alcoholism stopped and mine started. But mine was fun then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, in the beginning, you don't really know, do you?
No.
You're just
doing what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
going out for a few drinks. This is what we do. We're 16, 17, going into Romford. I'd always try and find where I could ever could get served because I had
was
a baby
you tall place. Then? Because you're quite.
I was
big
tall, guy. But I looked like a big baby. I looked young. Do you know what I mean?
I wish I did now.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
And what? So how long did that progress for?
What, with
as
me?
In just yeah. So you've gone to college.
Yeah.
That's so. Stopped.
But yeah, so I went to college, done all like my plumbing course and all that. For the, like from 16 to 20, my life was going upwards. You know what I mean? Passed my driving test, done my gas exams, all that sort of stuff. I was drinking. Started off on a Friday night, just a few drinks. It was all like apple hooches and all that sort of stuff, and Bacardi breezes then, Smirnoff ices. So I didn't like the taste of beer. So I drink them, going to Romford, started off just a Friday night thing, then become a Friday and Saturday night thing because I didn't want to miss out. What's everyone up to? Do you know what I mean? Then it became Wednesday night was pound a pint night, so you couldn't miss that one out. That was all the 80s music and all that, which I loved. Right. Thursday, they used to have R&B nights or phone party nights in Pulse. Like if there was a night, I had to be there, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a bit late, Ron Brannigan's on a Monday. But it wasn't too bad then because you could go out with 20 quid in your pocket and that'd last you all night. And I'd get up and go to work the next morning. I feel a bit rough, but there was no consequences, do you know what I mean? Nothing, it was all fun then. And then very quickly, but in that time as well, like I was always going to be one of them people who never touch drugs. But then once I had a drink in me, like my walls came down. Do you know what I mean? Oh, do you want to try a bit? And I'll be like, no, I'm all right. And then a few drinks later, I think I'll have a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I'll have half a pill, and then oh, that's not working. Give us another bit. Do you know what I mean? And then I loved it. I thought this is great. Dabble with speed because sometimes if I take speed, I can dance all night.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took that. That was vile. That didn't last too long. I didn't really get hooked on that, but the game changer for me was when someone offered me a line. I said, "No, I'm not doing that. That's not."
Where did that kind of moralness come from in the beginning? Because I remember saying from my family, even though there was a lot of drinking, my dad was always like, "Drugs are for weak people.
Yeah,
don't go near anyone who does drugs.
Yeah,
they're losers. That's it." And that he said that quite a lot through younger years.
Yeah.
So I was quite adamant. I'm never going to do anything.
Yeah. Well, my dad was very anti-drugs. I don't think he may have dabbled, but I don't remember him doing drugs. My mum's very anti-drugs. My nan definitely anti-drugs, and I always got warned if I got caught with a cigarette, I was going to get a good hiding. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that drummed into me from about 13 onwards. Mum used to come home, smell my breath, my jacket, and all that if I've been out with my mates. And
sometimes, my mum used to do that.
Yeah, and she'd smell smoke on me. She'd go, "You've been smoking?" I go, "No, I haven't." And I swear to God, I've never touched a fag.
Yeah.
I've never had a joint. I've always hated smoking for whatever reason. I think it may be because my mum used to heavily smoke. I don't know. I've never liked the smell of smoke. I was so happy when they banned smoking in pubs because, like, I could then go out for 2 days in the same clothes. Like back then, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But you used to come home on a Saturday morning. My clothes would absolutely reek of smoke.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Do you know what's really weird? I was out biking on weekend motorbikes, and we went up to this little village in North Essex. And as we pulled up, the guys I go with, they like a beer, so they said, "Oh, we'll have a quick shandy or beer." And as we pulled into this pub, very nice looking place, but they'd had a party till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And whether they had the doors open and smoking by the doors, I went in to use the toilet and I walked in and I had a flashback of this smell, this damp beer and like rotten cigarette smell. I had to hold my breath.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't judge because I used to be the same, but I had to hold my breath to go in, to go to the toilet and come out. It was awful.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Awful.
And the worst thing was whenever I pick up a beer bottle or a can and it's got a fag butt in it, like you go to drink it, that used to drive me mad. Yeah, I hate that. That used to make me gag. But the drugs thing is that, like I say, no one in my family that I know was taking drugs. So plus at that time you had Leah Betts that come out. I remember my mum showing me that.
Yeah, that was a big thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, like you take pills, they're dangerous and all that. But once I had a drink in me, all it ain't going to happen to me. Like there was no sort of care, do you know what I mean? Like just down the hatch. But the cocaine was the game changer for me because once I'd done that, I thought it sobered me up, which it probably did to a bit. It worked for a while. And also I could go out now from Friday till Sunday without sort of really sleeping or doing it. I could have a longer weekend, do you know what I mean? And I thought, why wouldn't anyone do this? Do you know what I mean? I was having a great time. And it was good. It was really good up until about 22 years old.
Mm.
And then days off started coming in, the feeling ill. And then I had a few consequences, like dangerous ones for me. where I hurt people as well, drink driving, like all of that came very quickly, do you know what I mean? Sort of from 22 onwards. And yeah, it progressed really fast, you know what I mean? But it was never, I never set out to do any of that stuff, do you know what I mean? It just sort of happened. I know you look back and you think, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Because it all started off with just wanting to go out and have a good time, have a drink, have a dance, have a laugh, pull a bird maybe, just all the good stuff.
Mm.
And then that just went.
It's funny, isn't it? Because it's like an invisible line you cross.
Yeah.
And things start going bad.
Yeah.
My granddad always used to say, nothing happens good after midnight anyway.
Yeah.
But when you're drinking and drugging, it usually goes one way or the other, doesn't it?
Yeah. And with me, it's always the other.
How did it affect your work? Because life was going up. You did college.
Yeah.
It's actually, I bet it's quite a difficult course to graduate from.
Yeah. Started off with the days off. Or going in and just being a bit shaky, either being a bit late. Sometimes I'll be going in, I've had like 2-3 hours sleep. And like, in our game, like sometimes you could be up a scaffold tower with a grinder cutting pipe and all that, like people walking underneath it. Like, you've got to be on the ball, do you know what I mean? I get that now. And I remember a couple of times, like, the bloke I was working for said, if you come in like this again, he said, I'm going to send you home. He said, don't bother coming in if you like this, it's dangerous.
So you must have looked pretty bad then for him to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, looked and felt bad, probably smelt it on me, do you know what I mean? You know, it's like chewing gums and aftershave thinking, I can smell it, do you know what I mean? Like, you see people doing that and you think, like, I can see you being on it, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's a dangerous environment to be drunk. I mean, back then, we used to go out on a Friday, me and a few of the lads. It used to be a thing, on a Friday afternoon, everyone go to lunch, have a couple of pints, go back to site, do you know what I mean? It was only sort of 2005 onwards, I think that sort of started getting phased out, do you know what I mean?
When you say phased out, what was put in place for that not to happen?
Drink and drug testing on sites, all of that sort of stuff has been clamped down on massively. Do you know what I mean? Some people still do it, but it's not like how it was back then. Everyone done it.
So do you have to literally, is it random testing, or when you go on a site they breathalyse you?
It's very rare that it happens, you know what I mean? But I've been on jobs, like the Olympics, for example. When I went over there, you had to be drug tested before you went on the site. And I'll give you a quick story on that. So I got told on the Friday, I'm going to be starting the Olympics on Monday morning. So I said, whatever you do this weekend, don't be going out, touching everything and all that. My head went, don't tell me what to do in my own time, do you know what I mean? So I went home, went down the pub, had a couple of pints. I thought, I'll just have one line. I thought, that won't show up, do you know what I mean? And risked my whole job, do you know what I mean? And when I went there, I got drug tested and had a very faint trace. And I just made up this story. I said, I was at a party last week. I said, I never knew I was coming here till Friday. I said, but I don't normally touch it. And he let me on. He said, but I will be coming back for you to drug test you again. He said, we can't have that on it. So I was lucky. That was 2 years of work, guaranteed work. In a time, 2010, it was like a lot of work.
There to build a lot the of whole site for the Olympics?
Yeah, for the aquatic centre and the polo centre, the water polo.
Wow.
So it was 2 years guaranteed work. And for the sake of one line, I just wanted to prove a point. It's like, you're not telling me what to do with my weekend. You know what I mean? I had that attitude. And even after that, I got that warning. And that was one of the worst periods for my drinking and drugging. Like, I was on it every other day for the whole 2 years. You know what I mean? I got sacked a couple of times over there. The thing is, when I went into work, I'm one of them people, I'm all or nothing. So if I'm in, I'm going to smash the work out. I'm going to do all the hours under the sun. I'll do 7 days a week.
Yeah.
But then in the end, I just keep like, and the thing is over there, I got paid on a Wednesday. So I blame them. I said, who pays their blokes on a Wednesday? Do you know what I mean? So I get paid on a Wednesday. Champions League football is always on a Wednesday night. So the first thing I do is we go home, create a Stella, gear, and then I wouldn't be in on a Thursday. And I go, why was you not in again? I said, like you're paying me on a Wednesday. Do you know what I mean? As if it's their fault. But that's
what did they say to that? Because that is this.
Just looked at me in disbelief, like anyone would. Do you know what I mean? I mean,
well,
if someone
you get
said
that
to
now.
Me now, I'd go, what are you talking about? But back then, it made sense to me. It was like, why would you pay your blokes on the first? It didn't matter when they paid me, do you know what I mean?
That's like the bloke who hit a lamppost and said he would put a lamppost there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, well, I look back at my thinking now over the years and think, how could you not see what you're doing? Do you know what I mean? And it's hard to explain to people, like I just said to you, in my early 20s when all that carnage started happening, any normal person would think, stop now, this ain't no good for you. And I had a few warnings off people, like you need to sort yourself out and all that. And I was always making promises. Yeah. I'm going to stop. But it just wouldn't happen. It'd just be like, just go out and have a couple. Look, it's been a few weeks now. Like, that's all forgotten about. Do you know what I mean? You've put that right. You've sorted that argument out. Do you know what I mean? I was always apologising to people. And then 3 weeks later, I'd be apologising to them again for the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I was just thinking, I was doing suspended ceilings in 6 weeks holidays when I was young. And then I carried on till I was about 18. And I remember working, I used to do weekends because it was really good money at the time and I just wanted to save up, get a nice car, go on F holidays. And, and a bit like you actually, when I turned up, I would happily unload a lorry because I wanted to burn calories, be fit. I mean, they must have loved me.
Yeah.
And I remember we did a job near a club and I saw everyone coming out from 3 o'clock in the morning. We did nights until about 7 or 8. And these two girls had a flat tire and I changed their tire for them and stuff. And I just felt at the time, I love being sharp-minded, being clear, full of energy.
Yeah.
I just don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
And yet, that's what I would do. And end up going doing exactly the same thing, watching people go to work, thinking, you know, what boring life you've got.
Yeah, sados.
Yeah. How is how are things now at work for you? Like your mindset compared to how it was?
Oh, completely different. Completely different. I'm currently as we do this, like I'm trying to look to get out of the construction game at the minute. I think after 30 years of being in it, I'm just getting a bit bored of it. I like the laugh of the blokes and all that sort of stuff. But going to work with a clear head is definitely a game changer for me. Do you know what I mean? Going in and be able to talk to people face to face, doing my job properly. Like before, I was like falling asleep in the toilets all the time, getting measurements wrong. And plus now I do a full week. Like that for me. Like I remember years ago, I'd say to people, like if I had a little period off the drink, I'd do a full week. I'd be telling everyone, well, I've done a full week this week. And they're like, yeah. I go, it's good, isn't it? Like, everyone, I didn't realise everyone does that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I remember moaning to a bloke once and I said, I'm sick of being skint. He said, try doing a full week. And I just looked at him and thought, you're an idiot. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it was just, I couldn't get my head around it. I couldn't, like, doing a full week at work back then was like hard work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now I go to work. But yeah, to be honest, I think where I've been doing this for 30 years, I'm starting to get a bit tired of being in the construction game. It's changed a lot. I preferred it back then, how it was. But that's only my opinion, do you know what I mean? But I know a lot of people that are not alcoholics. A lot of the people that I work with have had enough of it. It's changing for them in the wrong way.
Hmm.
Obviously, it's gone health and safety mad now, do you know what I mean? But you're not allowed radios on site, which that hasn't been for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, you're not allowed radios. I mean, some of the jobs you go on, honestly, it's like being in a prison camp. That's how it feels sometimes, especially when the weather's bad and you're dark. Because on a lot of jobs, they seal the windows like with the Corex, so you can't even see out.
Wow.
So it's just like a grey...
that sounds awful. Why can you not have a radio on a job?
Because in case you can't hear the fire alarm, which is like 500
decibels.
Seriously. Yeah, you're not allowed no music. But wow. I've heard people say, well, if you have that station on, someone else will have that station on. But my feeling is, well, why don't you just have a communal radio station, which no one can touch apart from the management or whatever, and just have a little bit of magic, something easy, just in the background, you know what I mean?
God, that's difficult, isn't it?
It is, and it's especially like, you're on site for 7:30, you've got all these chop saws going off, drills and all that sort of noise, you know what I mean? So your ears are being bombarded all day with like bad noise. A radio for it's me, it would be a game changer.
Yeah, well, it just takes the subconscious noise.
Or being able
to
see out the window, do you know what I mean? It's
For
me, I've got to the point now where I think maybe a little career change, do you know what I mean? I've got a few things in mind. I started putting feelers out about starting up a little cleaning business. I've got a phone call to make later on this day today about it. And just try a few different things, do you know what I mean? It's just, I think like I'm 45, nearly 46.
Which is still young. It's a shame because it's quite a talent, your job.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I'm sure you do well out of it.
Yeah. Well, you say it is a good job and it is quite well paid. Or it can be, do you know what I mean? But just this last couple of years, it seems to have stagnated a bit. But I think that's general in the whole country, do you know what I mean? Everything's going a bit...
Let's not go on that subject.
Yeah, I've been warned by the missus, do not go into politics.
Be here for about 8 hours.
Yeah. I think it's tough for everyone. I don't think that's just in the building game. A lot of people are sort of holding on to their money at the minute and it's just getting tough out there for everyone. I don't think it's generally just the building game, but...
Hi, it's Paul here. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you and to say if you've heard something on the show that's moved you, please follow, rate or review the show and it'd be amazing if you could share it. Now back to the show. What point was it, Gary, when you was like, I'm in trouble here?
What with the
was there a realization? Yeah, what was there like a turning point?
There was a few. I mean, like there was a consequence when I was 23. I hit a girl in a pub. It's a pub fight. This sort of time when like World Cup starts tonight, and this was in Euro 2004. So England had just been knocked out against Portugal. Big fight kicks off in a pub. I always got in trouble when England played because if England were playing 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, I had to be in a pub for 10 in the morning to get, because I had to be really like get psyched up for the football. Do you know what I mean? So by the time the football come around, I'm wasted. And I always end up sort of something bad would happen when England played. And so that was one of the consequences. A big fight kicked off. I've hit this girl and then I've ended up with a price on my head. I've ended up getting a good hiding a couple of weeks later and all that. Went to hospital, got sorted out, went straight back down the pub to carry on because I'm going to miss out. Then that went to court a couple of years later. Got away with it by the skin of my teeth. When I say got away with it, I didn't go to prison. I very nearly got 2 years for that. Which, again, should shock someone, say, sort yourself out now, do you know what I mean? And when I went to court, it was my mum's birthday as well, and like, she's crying, I'm thinking, oh, why have you come? And it was just a horrible day, do you know what I mean? But as soon as I got let off, I mean, I didn't get let off, I got community service, I got a big fine, but straight back down the pub again. It was like, I got away with that, because the night before, I was thinking, if I get away with this, I'm going to sort myself out, do you know what I mean? And then there's...
Which is so selfish, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's, I didn't incredible. Think so at the time. I was thinking, I was the one who was going to go to prison. Like, didn't think about no one else. Didn't think about it was my mum's birthday or any of that sort of stuff. Or, like, the effect it was having on my family. And when I see them sort of upset, and I thought, I can't see this. Do you know what I mean? And like to me, I go and hide and drink, and it just took all that away. Do you know what I mean? And I was in a relationship then with the mother of my kids. And there was loads. Like, for the first couple of years of that was absolutely fine. And then that got very toxic. Just smashing up the house, just constant rowing, violence, drink driving again. Just it was horrible. Do you know what I mean? And there was a few times there, but like me and my partner at the time would sit down and I'd say, I've got to stop. We need to sort this out. We can't keep doing this. The kids are here. Do you know what I mean? And we'd make plans, dry January, all that sort of stuff. We're going to stop. Next weekend, we'll take the kids out. We'll do this. We'll do that. And I'll just end up back in that place again. And my mum had a word with my dad and said, can you help him? Because by this time, he's got about 10 years sobriety now. So she said, can you have a word with him? He said, I can't make him do anything he doesn't want to do. And because I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I knew I had a bit of a drink problem, but I thought if I sort that out, everything will be fine. He come around and give me a big book. And that just went under my bed. I think I read it a couple of times. I didn't read it through. I just read a couple of stories. You know what I mean? I thought, what relevance is this to me? Because if you read it on your own, it doesn't really make sense. That you need someone to go through it with you.
Yeah, just for reference, that's an AA book, isn't it?
Yeah, the AA big, big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what relevance it was to me. And then a few years later, social services were involved again. The police were involved again. And I thought, this is all because of her, like my partner at the time. I thought, if I get her out of my life, I'll be sweet. Do you know what I mean? And so we split up. Moved up to Brentwood on my own, and the carnage followed me. Do you know what I mean? And again, tried getting help, come to the meetings. Weren't for me. I thought everyone in the meetings was old. I thought they've never drank like me. They've never done this. They've never... It turns out they all have. I had people like 10, 20, 30 years trying to help me, give me advice, and all that. I was thinking, what do they know? Do you know what I mean? Or I'd get a little period of sobriety. 3 weeks was my favourite, because something had happened on a Saturday or a Sunday. I think I need to get back to them rooms. And I'd go back, and I'd get to the first week, fine. I'd be hammering in meetings and I feel great. The second week, got that little voice started going in the head, do you know what I mean? Going, you'd probably be all right now, they probably forgot, do you know what I mean? Why don't you just have a couple? And I'd fight that off by watching films or going to the gym religiously every night. And then the third week, it'd just be like a hammer on the side of your head, like, have a drink. And then as soon as you have a drink, it's like, oh, that's better again. Mm. And then the whole cycle starts again, do you know what I mean?
That's the hard thing to explain to people, isn't it? About, you explained that really, really well. And it sounds nuts.
Yeah.
Because it is, isn't it? There's an alcoholic denial of your own behaviour, isn't there, and what goes on. And it's hard to explain to people about the inner narrative.
Yeah.
Which becomes so loud that you have no choice, that you have to quieten it.
Yeah.
Which is really the disease of alcoholism, isn't it?
Yeah. I can have that with a bar of chocolate. Like my missus bought me a bar of chocolate for Valentine's about 4 years ago, and I put it in the fridge. And I was watching telly, and it was like I was just being drawn to the fridge. And I went and got it out and ate the whole lot. As soon as I ate the whole lot, it all just stopped. And I could watch the film again in quiet. Yeah. So got that inner voice going, can I have that chocolate? Or it'll be like, go to the gym on a Saturday morning. I think, because I make the plan on a Friday, I'm going to go to the gym first thing Saturday morning. And I wake up, think, have a day off. You deserve a day off. Like, it'll be going on in there. I think, no, you go gym. You've got the whole day. You always want to go gym on Saturday. And I'll sit there arguing myself for 2-3 hours and then yet scrolling, anything, trying to get rid of that. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And if I don't go, like, what a waste you are. You fat, so you like CNT. Do you know what I mean? And or if I do go, it just, again, it quiets it. It's gone.
Mm.
But you try to explain that to a normal person, like, you're mental. But you hear people share all that sort of stuff all the time, and I think,
yeah,
I get it. I totally get it.
But that's resolved now for drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that thought ever come in?
No. No. I can honestly say, because when I come in, it took me 7.5 years of trying all different ways to drink normally or to try and be normal without doing the meetings and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because I thought, if I stop drinking, I thought my life's now going to be cutting grass, washing the car. And I looked at people who've done that and I thought, I'm not doing that. That is terrible. Do you know what I mean? And it's been nothing like that. Do you know what I mean? My life has been brilliant since I've stopped drinking. I find out I can do anything now, but just can't drink or take drugs. But the thought of picking up a drink, that's the thoughts I get now is either like a suicidal brief, like sort of, oh, your life's worthless, what's the point in this, that sort of stuff, or that like flatness where, is this it? I'm always looking for a bit of excitement or something. Some days just being around the family or going to work can seem really
mundane.
Yeah, like, this is.
I think it's interesting. I was talking to someone in the States yesterday about the internal chemistry set.
Yeah.
And like that. Cocaine, all it does really is kick off your adrenaline, so you're high on your adrenaline.
Yeah.
And serotonin and all endorphins and all this stuff. And he was saying that's one of his biggest battles. So he stopped all the drugs he used to use, and he was on meds for a long time as well, stopped absolutely everything. And he said it's the weirdest thing. He said it feels like it's a huge, vast desert, and he's just sitting there on his own, and he's like, sort of thinking something's got to happen, like something's got to happen, because he's so used to this chemical imbalance and these highs and the lows that it's abnormal to be normal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we laugh and joke about it now with me and my missus. Like, that's how I found our relationship at the start. So when I met my missus, like, I was waiting for, like, because she wasn't pulling a knife on me or the police weren't getting involved or we weren't fighting or that sort of stuff. I was thinking, this is weird. I found it weird to be in a normal relationship, do you know what I mean? We wasn't screaming and shouting at each other. Like, sometimes I might be a bit late home from work and I'm thinking, oh, she hadn't texted me or blocked me or... Do you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't that...
It's sad, really, mate, because you think that the life of drama and craziness and all carnage, becomes so normal that other people can't see it, and then you're expecting...
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's nice when you get used to it. And this is lovely, do you know what I mean? I haven't got to explain myself all the time. I haven't got to keep texting and calling and all this sort of stuff. I like normal now. I like quiet now.
Yeah.
Before, my life was just absolute madness, just noise, texting, fighting. Like, every week this was. Like, it was exhausting. I was absolutely knackered by the time I'd come in this time. And I just, like, something snapped to me and I give up. I thought, I can't keep doing this anymore, do you know what I mean? That, like, internal snap we talk about. I just... when that happened, I knew I was done. And that was like,
did you go to rehab?
No.
You went to a 12-step program?
Yeah. So I was doing the meetings for 7.5 years. I was doing the meetings. When I say doing the meetings, I was going to meetings. Started doing the steps a couple of times with 2 different sponsors who, like I say, one was over 10 years sober. One was, well, he's 36 years sober now. So I thought they must have something. Do you know what I mean? And... started doing it with them, but I'd get to a certain point, I'd get to step 3 and I think, I can do this on my own now. I don't really... So I'd come away from them, and before you know it, the noise got louder. The longest I ever got in that 7.5 years period was 10.5 months. Mm. But my behaviours after 3 months were just as bad as when I was drinking. I started cheating on my missus at the time. I was gambling with the rent money, just driving erratically. At work, I couldn't think straight. I was having days off where my head was just spinning all the time. So I might as well have been drinking, and in the end that's what I did. I picked up a drink and felt better again for about 3 hours, and then the carnage started again. But when I stopped this time around, I was in a relationship with a girl, and she cheated on me a month previous, and I think that was like the slow start of me stopping. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was thinking this is just happening over and over again.
Mm.
And I was on this job, and the bloke said, I'm going to put some money behind the bar. You can have a drink on me. Like, not just, there was a few of us. I was working away, and he put his car behind the bar. And I always like to start off with a Strongbow dark fruit, especially when it's summer. So it's, yeah, so I ordered a Strongbow dark fruit, and the first one didn't go down. It was like trying to drink tar, and I thought, it's weird. So I ordered another one, because, like, with us, do you know what I mean? If the first one don't work, we're just trying to get another one down, because after two or three, then it sort of loosens up and you're all right. Mm. So I ordered a second one, and that voice inside my head, the one that attacks me all the time, says, oh, eat that chocolate, do this, do that, it, when you're done, mate. And I don't know if that's a God moment, or, like, I like to think of it as a God moment, do you know what I mean? But from that moment, I thought, I can't do it anymore. And I text the bloke that I thought was stalking me on Facebook. He'd become my sponsor. Like, I used to see him, but you know what it's like, when you don't want to stop, you avoid people that are trying to help you.
Yeah.
And he was on my Facebook, and I'd be in the pub with my mates, like, with my pint, and they'd be going, oh, we'll have a photo, and I'd move my pint out of the way, as if, like, he's going to look at it and go, oh, he's definitely not drinking, do you know what I mean? I can't see no... do you know what I mean? And I texted him, I said, can you help me, mate? I said, I really am done. And
how old was you then, Gary?
So that was 9 years ago, so 37. Yeah, so that from that point, I've never had a drink. Yeah, and I hear quite a lot of people get that sort of age. Because I think people come in sort of before 30, they think they're too young, they're going to miss out and all that. And I wish I got it at 22. My life could have been so much different, you know what I mean? But we all say that, but then my life now is good, so then I wouldn't be here.
But the lessons you've learned, the crazy stuff that's gone on, how do you, for people who don't know, how have you dealt with the past? Because it's a lot of carnage.
Yeah, well, I had to make amends, obviously, to the people that I hurt, like the girl I hit, my ex-partner. That was the hardest one, because there was a lot of damage there, and I thought, we know a lot of mutual people. So when I done it, I wanted it to be right, and I was, do you know what I was scared of? That it's all going to go on Facebook, or like she was going to make a fool of me, and this sort of stuff. So the fear of making it, I put it off for 6 years, which I wouldn't recommend to anyone. Mm. And then when I did say it, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take my boy to the pictures. I said, can I sit down and have a word with you afterwards? And she went, yeah, sure. So the mistake I made was doing it in the evening. So I'm in the pictures with my boy trying to watch a film. And all I can think of, I've got to do this after. I've got to do that voice. I don't remember any of the film. But when I done it, we went and sat down. She came and got in my car, and we just sat down and had a chat. And we used to fight and bicker all the time. We couldn't have a conversation about anything. Anything turned into an argument. The minute I made that an amends, the walls come down. She went, it wasn't just you, you know. And like, we don't talk anymore because my boy's 18. If there was an emergency, obviously, or if it's something to do with him, he's going to university in September. So anything to do with that, a legitimate reason, we'd have a chat. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it doesn't have to be how it was. I've forgotten what the question was now. Where we started.
Just about, it's... Because you've got such a calm life now, and you got, you know, you're thinking about changing a career, but you've got a really good career, you've had great jobs, you work with a lot of people in sobriety. I was just saying, for those who don't know, how do you deal with past stuff?
Because
by making amends, and so basically you take the energy out of it by confronting what happened in the past.
Yeah, I've made amends, or tried to make amends, to everyone I've hurt in the past. Obviously, I haven't gone back to all ex-girlfriends and all stuff like that. I was told not to. If I bump into them, I'll make amends to them, but I'm not going to go hunting people who've gone on and got married and all that sort of stuff. There's people that I couldn't stand at work, but I've sort of give everyone, I thought, if I'm going to have a clear chance, or a clear slate, I need to give them a clear slate. Maybe it wasn't them. Maybe it was me, funnily enough. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of people now I get on with. The thing is, if you're working for someone and you're not turning up when you're saying you're going to turn up, or when you do turn up, you're sleeping in the toilets or just not doing a good job, they're going to get the hump of you, do you know what I mean? And they'd have a little bicker at me, and I'd bicker back with them. So when I went through this work, I realised that 99% of the problems I had going on in my life were all me.
Mm.
But I didn't. When I come in, I thought it was everyone else.
How was that realisation? Because that's a massive conscious change.
It was a massive penny dropping moment for me, yeah. Because I really did think it was everyone else. Mm. When I wrote all my stuff down, like for me, step four and all that, and going on to like step five was when you share it with someone, I really thought we're going to look at this and he's going to go, I can see why you drank now. They probably owe you an apology. You're right there. And it wasn't. Mm. Like I said, it was 99% all me. He said, can you see a pattern here in all of this? And I just looked at it and I thought, wow. Do you know what I mean? And that changed my recovery from then, because after that, I knew it was me. And don't get me wrong, I still like to blame people. Like, and put things on other people when it's not them. Do you know what I mean? But I realised, oh, you're doing it again. Mm. Do you know, I'm aware of it today. I wasn't aware of it then. Do you know what I mean?
That's amazing because, you know, it's for me, it's like if you're in a cinema and you're watching a movie and then someone gets up and walks straight past you, all of a sudden you're out of the movie thinking, you just pulled me out of my movie, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same as what you're describing. When you're in that movie in your head, in the consciousness,
yeah,
something takes you out to then see it as a movie, right? And then yeah. So you're looking at your thinking.
Yeah.
It's pretty profound stuff.
Yeah, it really was. And like I say, I look back, like we were talking about earlier, I look back at my drinking and think, because I can see it in my brother, I can see it in my sister, I can see it in my dad, I can see it in my cousin, I can see it in everyone else. Even when I was going to meetings, I think, cool, you're a bit fucked, you know what I mean? And she's in a bad way. I couldn't see me. I just couldn't see it, do you know what I mean? And then when, like you say, you go through that process and think, wow, it is you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a big eye open. It's like people say you turn the glasses round, that sort of thing. Yeah, it was an eye open and a penny dropping moment.
Yeah, it's more than that. I think it sounds like a massive spiritual change, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's changing everything.
Yeah.
Is your dad still around?
No, he passed away, unfortunately. Oh, sorry. He passed away just before COVID.
Oh, okay.
So when I started getting sober, my dad, I was going to a couple of meetings with my dad, but he was sharing some random weird stuff. And we thought, like, it's not right. And one of my old sponsors pulled me aside. He said, well, is your dad all right? He said, he seemed a bit unstable and he seems to be sharing that strange stuff. And then a couple of other people said stuff. And then we went, took him to the hospital, got him tested, and he had the early signs of dementia, but it progressed really quick.
Yeah.
And he got it young. He was 60 when he got it.
Wow.
Or 61. And yeah, so he passed away. He got really ill really quick. Within a couple of years, he was in a care home. Yeah, so unfortunately, like, I stopped drinking. I started drinking as he stopped. So our paths, from childhood, our paths never really crossed properly, do you know what I mean? I used to go meetings with him, but I was always either, I was on the punts for a score, or I wasn't there for the right reasons, do you know what I mean? I was there just to, yeah, like I say, just to show a bit of lip service.
For those people who don't know what it means asking for £20.
yeah, so, yeah, to the international viewers. yeah, I sort of think, I'll go there, I'll tap him up for £20, because at the time I lived above a wine bar as well, just
a,
literally
good location for a drinker to live.
Yeah, I mean, what could go wrong? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, trying to stop.
Drilling a hole through the scene.
Yeah. I'll be up there trying to watch like DVD after DVD, thinking I'm not drinking this weekend. And then I look down and they'd have Oasis blaring.
Yeah.
Loads of like girls down there. And I think, I'm not sitting in this room. Do you know what I mean? I was in a box room watching DVDs. I'm not going to sit up there for long, am I?
No.
But again, mad times.
Yeah.
Thinking that was a good move.
On a site now, do you get, because you are conscious and level-headed, and whenever I've seen you, you're always like good bloke, stand-up bloke, doing your stuff. Do you get people come up to you on sites that are struggling or have problems?
Yeah, I've had a few. I was working with one a couple of years ago, and he was sharing basically my story. He said, I've got a load of carnage going on with my ex-missus. She's cheating on me with so-and-so, she won't let me see the kid, all of that sort of stuff, which I've been through.
Did he just come out of it?
Well,
men don't really talk, do they, on
No, well, he we was talking like all day sort of stuff and all that, and he just said, I've got a lot of stuff going on and all that, and I just said, what is it? And he was quite open, like, he came out of it quite quick, and I just said, I used to have all that. I said, that's the best thing to do is not get in the ring with her. Like, don't keep arguing with her. I said, just let it be at the minute. I said, she's not letting you see the kids. I said, why don't you sort yourself out first? Like, it was clear like he had a drink and drug problem and all that, because he sort of got skirting around it, do you know what I mean? And he's going, yeah. And he got a bit teary and all that. And I was looking at him and I thought, hopefully he's got something from that, do you know what I mean? And then that night he went out to watch a football match, ended up getting on it with his mates, didn't come in the next day. And when he came out in a couple of days later, like straight away I judged him. I thought, you've not listened to a thing I've said, do you know what I mean? But exactly how I was. Like 15 years ago, or if someone said that to me, I'd do exactly the same. But I've had other people as well, and I do find it hard when people, because I think, can't you see what you're doing? Mm. Even though I couldn't, I think, can you not see like the patterns that are happening here? Do you know what I mean? They've got like, the amount of people that tell me they've had food poisoning, that's why they weren't in Monday. That was one of my favourite ones, you know what I mean? I had food poisoning all the time on a Monday.
Mm.
And yeah, you do get, I've had quite a few people sort of message me, people I bumped into from the gym. There's quite a few blokes who go to my gym who are in recovery, which is quite good. yeah, people from the gym, and then yeah, people at work, and then like I've had old drinking friends who sort of sometimes I get the odd message at 2 a.m. I need help. I need this. One of my good pals, he unfortunately passed away through this. He was used to drink together. He used to love the gear, and I used to love drinking. And he'd look at me and go, "I don't know how you drink so much." And I'd look at him and think, "I don't know how you sniff so much." And then he had an accident at work, and he got a big payout. And you know what an addict alcoholic does with a big payout? He done the whole lot. I said, "Put some away." I said, "You're gonna need that."
Mm.
And took him to a couple of meetings, and he just sort of scoffed at him. He said, "What's all that about?" He said, "They're all weird in there. What's all that talk about God?" I said, "Don't worry about any of that." I said, "But you need to be here." And he left the meetings again, come back a couple of years later. He said, "I really need help. I'm in a bad way. I'm going to lose my missus again. I've got hardly any money left. He couldn't work. He was like pissing and shitting blood, throwing up bile, all that sort of stuff." You know, I said, and when I see him, he looked terrible. Do you know what I mean? He was a big, like, burly doorman from before.
Mm.
Used to train with him and that, and he looked all sticky and clammy, do you know what I mean? And he said, "Oh, I haven't had a drink for a few days." I said, "I can smell it on you now." And so the denial on him was strong, and he left that meeting. I never see him again after that. And that was about sort of May time. I had his daughter texting me saying he's still drinking, he's lying to you and all that. I thought, he's not lying to me. Oh, I can see it, do you know what I mean? And he said, "Can you send me some stuff and all that? And can you just help me talk to me? And I said, "I can send you stuff." I said, "But it's not going to help you." I said, "You need to do what I'm doing." I said, "Well, that's the only way I know, do you know what I mean?" So I sent him a few bits, and the last message I got off him was laughing faces going, "What is Bill Wilson on about?" Which is like the co-founder of the Big Book. And I never heard from him again. The next message I got was from his girlfriend off his phone saying that he's fell from the top of the stairs, crushed his skull in, ended up on a life support machine, do you know what I mean? And like sometimes people say I'm a bit hard with it and a bit sort of harsh when I talk to people, like a bit sort of straight to the point.
Yeah,
I think you've got to be with this stuff. Everyone loves a little arm around them and all that, but that never worked for me, do you know what I mean? It might work for some people, but for me, I needed to be told straight what this stuff is all about, do you know what I mean? And treat it as it is a killer illness, do you know what I mean? Because it does kill people. We lost another lady a couple of weeks ago from one of our local meetings. She didn't want to go meetings on her own, didn't want to get a bus, that sort of stuff, didn't want to do the work. And unfortunately, she died. You hear it all the time.
It kills a lot of people. Alcohol is probably one of the biggest killers. I think fentanyl now in America has overtaken that. But here, alcohol is definitely one of the biggest killers. But it's because you have organ failure or wet brain or other things associated to it, but it's not put down to alcohol.
Yeah. Suicides. Accidents.
Yeah, lots of suicides.
Car crashes.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been me. I was a maniac in a car when I'd had a drink. I was just like, I was always drink driving because I thought, what's the point of paying a cab? I only live there. And then I think, if I drive there as quick as I can, I've got less chance of getting caught.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And the thing is, when I come into recovery and got a bit of time around me, I remember reading about a drink driver. I was thinking, like, wrong-un. Do you know what I mean? But I was always doing it. Do you know what I mean? But never thinking that it was wrong. The amount of times I woke up sort of having a panic attack, looking out to see if my car was still there, and having bad dreams about car crashes and all that sort of stuff.
What's the best thing about sobriety now for you?
Probably the most, I've had loads of holidays, all that sort of stuff. I'm getting married later this year. All of that is great. But waking up not wanting to kill yourself, or not wanting, I used to not want to wake up. Do you know what I mean? I didn't wake up suicidal. I just thought, every morning I woke up thinking, here we go again. I hated, like, the thought I had to go to work, all that sort of stuff. So waking up with that clear head thinking, I didn't upset no one yesterday. I can go to bed of a night knowing I've not upset someone. If I've had a little row with the missus indoors, I put that right before we go to bed. The biggest, we don't row anymore. Well, we never rowed anyway, but we don't row, but we sulk. We have a little sulk every now and then. But I'd rather have that than punching doors or screaming, shouting, blocking each other, all that sort of stuff that I was used to. And now we have a little sulk for a few hours, and then we sit down and talk about it and go, sort that out. Let's talk about this, do you know what I mean? So that for me is probably waking up with a clear head and thinking, do you know what? I can do anything today. Like, I can sort of, whatever I put my mind to, I can do, do you know what I mean? But if I pick up a drink, it's game over. So that for me, the money, and it would be nice to be a millionaire, do you know what I mean? And not have to work and do that, like travel the world. And
not in this country, wouldn't.
No, exactly. Let's not go there. No, I've got a long way to do that. But it's, the material stuff's good.
Yeah,
but even like say me and Mrs. Love, we travel. We one of the things we've done when we got together, we got a little bucket list together, and that's my goal now, to the day I die, I just want to travel as much as I can over here, abroad, as much as I can. That is my goal, just travel. See, like, I like being in nature. I used to look at people who climb mountains and think, why? Mm. Like, what's the point? Do you know what I mean? You get to the top and what? And they're like, that's one of the things we like doing, country walks. Some people might think that's boring. I love it. Do you know what I mean? Going in churches, cathedrals, like old towns.
Mm.
Just a nice... I feel like I've turned into a bit of a pensioner, do you know what I mean? But I love it, just that peaceful life, do you know what I mean?
No, it's not that, is it? It's not a pensioner. It's because you are present enough to see the beauty of nature.
Yeah.
To see the craftsmanship that's gone into an old church, or the feeling that's in an old church.
Yeah.
Or cathedral. I do it myself. We do it. My missus, before, years ago, it was all about clubbing, going out and doing that stuff. And now it's about living. This planet's, it's big, but it's small, because you can get to a lot of places easy.
Yeah.
And it's about living, isn't it? And nurturing yourself. And like what you said, which is really important, when I put my mind to something, I can do it. Before, you couldn't, because your mind had you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. My life before, like towards the end, I mean, it started off with all the clubbing, and then it was the pubs and all that. And don't get me wrong, I had some good holidays as well, lads' holidays, like Thailand and all that, so Falaraki, Tenerife and all that back in the day. And I did have some great times, but then great times... From 23 onwards, they were gone. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Every now and then I'd have a good night, but I'd always think, every time I think about my good drinking days, it's always back like the late 90s, do you know what I mean? When I was a boy. But, I've completely forgotten where I was going with that. But it's,
you're thinking about the Tenerife. Yeah. What's the, we've got a couple of minutes to go. The last question would be, if there is someone in the construction business that is suffering, and like what you said, doesn't know how to talk about it, you know, they might not think it's them, what would you suggest they do?
Just give it a go, like 100%. If you really do think that you've got a problem with drink and drugs, either ring the helpline, get to a meeting. Don't judge it by your first meeting. If you walk in that meeting, I went to my first meeting, I thought everyone was old, you'll find your people. If you stay long enough, you'll find the people that are similar to you, do you know what I mean? And just give it a go. Like, you hear it quite a lot. Like, the pubs and the off-licenses, the drug dealers, they're not going anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Come into the rooms, give it a go for 6 months. If your life hasn't changed for the better in them 6 months and you really don't like it, go back. It's always there for you, do you know what I mean? Yeah. But give it a chance. Don't be put off by certain people or by the God. You can make that whatever you want, do you know what I mean? I still don't to this day know if there is a God or what my God is. Do you know what I mean? I'll just go along with it. All I know is what I've done before didn't work.
Mm.
And as much as I don't like being told, I knew I had to be told at this point and do what I was being told, do you know what I mean? And 9 years later, the proof's in the pudding, do you know what I mean?
Thanks, Kerry.
Cheers, Paul.
This is Powerful is brought to you by Stride Foundation UK, which educates the public about addiction, recovery, and the wealth of surrounding issues. We use lived experience and evidence-based science to support those in recovery and those struggling with addiction. To find out more about what we do, please head over to www.stridefoundation.com. You can also donate, please donate. It really, really helps us to put this on for you guys. It will help us to break the stigma of addiction. It will also help us to educate more of the population, and it will allow us to bring you more episodes. Thank you. See you next time.